sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Osama bin Laden is back in the news once again. Yes, the chief villain, al-Qaeda leader, and alleged mastermind of 9/11, according to the Bush and Obama administrations, and who is the main justification for the endless global war on terror, and who was allegedly killed in May of 2011 by U.S. Navy SEALs, is back in the news again. When he's resurrected, you have to wonder about the timing. Why now? The triggering event for this resurrection is a recently published article by investigative journalist Seymour Hersh in the London Review of Books called The Killing of Osama bin Laden, in which he claims that many elements of the Obama administration's account of what happened in Abbottabad, Pakistan in May of 2011 are false. It's noteworthy that Seymour Hersh still believes that the raid took place and that they got their man. But before getting into this, let's review the facts about Osama bin Laden. We know that Osama bin Laden worked for the CIA in Afghanistan, recruiting and organizing the Mujahideen to fight the Russians. The Mujahideen eventually morphed into al-Qaeda. Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda are blamed for 9/11, but no evidence exists to prove this. Osama bin Laden was ill with kidney disease and Marfan's disease. A quote from David Ray Griffin's 2009 book, Osama bin Laden, Dead or Alive, goes like this. Quote, on October 31, 2001, a leading Parisian newspaper, Le Figaro, published a story reporting, among other things, that bin Laden had been treated in the urology department of the American hospital in Dubai in July of 2001 and had ordered a mobile dialysis machine to be delivered to Afghanistan, unquote. And it's also been reported that he was visited in the hospital by the local CIA agent. The Taliban in Afghanistan offered to turn over Osama bin Laden to the United States if they could be provided with evidence of his guilt. No evidence was provided. And perhaps this next quote from David Ray Griffin's book, Osama bin Laden, Dead or Alive, will help explain why this evidence wasn't provided. And here goes. The FBI's website on Osama bin Laden as a most wanted terrorist does not list 9/11 as one of the terrorist acts for which he is wanted. In 2006, Rex Toom, the FBI's chief of investigative publicity, was asked why not. He replied, the reason why 9/11 is not mentioned on Osama bin Laden's most wanted page is because the FBI has no hard evidence connecting bin Laden to 9/11, explaining that the FBI cannot list people as wanted until they have been formally indicted by the Department of Justice. Toom further said, the FBI gathers evidence. Once evidence is gathered, it is turned over to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice then decides whether it has enough evidence to present to a federal grand jury. In the case of the 1998 United States embassies being bombed, bin Laden has been formally indicted and charged by a grand jury. He has not been formally indicted and charged in connection with 9/11 because the FBI has no hard evidence connecting bin Laden to 9/11. So this CIA-connected sick man on dialysis was supposedly the mastermind of 9/11. Even though the FBI has admitted that it has no evidence to support this. And he did all this from a cave in Afghanistan and allegedly lived from 2001 to 2011 with no one being able to find him, 10 years with kidney disease and Marfan's disease. And his 19 alleged al-Qaeda hijackers, some of whom trained at U.S. military bases, and 10 of whom have been reported to still be alive, were able to defy all of America's defense systems, set explosives in World Trade Center Building 7, which was not hit by a plane and was clearly a controlled demolition, This is what you've been asked to believe for the past almost 14 years. I hope you haven't fallen for it, because the consequences of these lies have led to the killing and maiming and displacement of millions of people, and the trashing of the U.S. Constitution and your civil liberties and your tax dollars supporting a federal budget with roughly two-thirds of the money going to the military. All justified by this CIA-connected guy on dialysis who appears to have died in 2001. Here are just a few pieces of the evidence that Osama bin Laden actually died in December of 2001, and they all come from David Ray Griffin's book, Osama bin Laden, Dead or Alive. So here goes. Through December 13, 2001, the CIA monitored messages between bin Laden and his associates. Suddenly, they stopped. On December 26, 2001, a leading Pakistani newspaper reported bin Laden's death. It cited a prominent Taliban official attending his funeral, witnessing his dead body before it was laid to rest. On September 10, 2001, one day before 9/11, CBS News anchor Dan Rather reported his admittance to a Rawalpindi, Pakistan hospital. On January 2001, Dr. Sanjay Gupta said bin Laden appeared in the latest stages of kidney failure, based on video evidence he saw in late November or early December 2001. Washington offered a $25 million reward for information leading to bin Laden's capture or killing. No one came forward to claim it. And the next piece comes from an article by Stephen Lendman called The Big Lie, Obama Did Not Kill Bin Laden, posted on Global Research on May 12, 2015, and he says, quote, "Testimonial evidence Griffin cited included influential people in a position to know, saying bin Laden died in December 2001, including Pakistan President Musharraf, FBI counterterrorism head Dale Watson, Oliver North saying, I'm certain that Osama bin Laden is dead, Afghan President Karzai, Israeli intelligence saying supposed bin Laden messages were fake, and Pakistan's ISI confirming the death of Osama bin Laden and attributing the reasons behind Washington's hiding the truth to the desire of American hawks to use the issue of al-Qaeda and international terrorism to invade Iraq. In October 2008, former CIA case officer Robert Baer told National Public Radio when asked, of course, he's dead. And here's a clip of that interview.
Let me just back up a little bit. You slipped in there that you think bin Laden is dead.
Of course he's dead.
What do you mean, of course
he's
dead? Hiding someplace in no man's land between Afghanistan and Pakistan, no?
Where are the DVDs? Bin Laden wouldn't dye his hair. I mean, all these things can be manipulated, as you know. Voices can be manipulated. We can take this recording, and you could change everything that was completely opposite of what I said. Your technicians can do this. He hasn't shown up. I've taken, in the last month, a poll of CIA officers who have been on his trail. And what astounded me was not a single one was sure he was alive or dead. In other words, they have no idea. I mean, this man disappeared off the side of the earth. That has never happened before in my years in the CIA. And as long as we're at it, when in history has a country fought a war against another country or another entity where the leader may be dead?
And now I'm going to continue with the evidence Stephen Lendman puts forth in his article, The Big Lie, Obama Did Not Kill Bin Laden. In March 2009, former Foreign Service officer Angelo Codovia published an American Spectator article titled Osama bin Elvis, saying 7 years after his last verifiable appearance among the living, there is more evidence of Elvis's presence among us than for his. Griffin explained today's advanced technology can fake messages and videos able to fool most people. Pre-May 2011 claims about bin Laden's continued existence weren't backed up by evidence, according to David Ray Griffin. Perpetuating the myth about bin Laden remaining alive until May 2011 remains one of the big lies of our time. It bears repeating. Clear evidence proves he died of natural causes in December 2001. Keeping alive a dead man was done to pursue America's phony war on terror. The so-called enemy number one was used to stoke fear as pretext for post-9/11 imperial wars on one country after another to this day. Griffin hoped his book would help shorten America's wars. They rage endlessly. Don't expect Hirsch's article to change things. The official account of what happened in Abbottabad, Pakistan, is that the U.S. discovered Osama bin Laden was hiding there in this compound. They raided the compound via helicopter without the knowledge of the Pakistani military or government. And in the ensuing firefight, Osama bin Laden was killed. The helicopter then took him to a Navy ship where his body was prepared according to Islamic customs and was dropped into the ocean. They claimed that they took DNA samples, which proved it was bin Laden's body. The countering evidence, which has been gathered since 2011, in addition to the fact that Osama bin Laden appears to have died in 2001, is that multiple neighbors said that Osama bin Laden didn't live in this compound. And they said that only one helicopter landed, and they said that some of the men on the helicopter went door to door telling people to stay inside, and that these men spoke fluent Pashto. The neighbors also reported that when the helicopter was attempting to take off again, it exploded with no survivors. Two other helicopters had approached and took off in different directions after the explosion. As for the DNA samples, it's been reported that it would have taken longer to do the test and get results back than the time allotted, and with no lab nearby, it would be really difficult. And the Navy SEALs who participated in this raid appear to have all died in a strange helicopter crash in Afghanistan. And some soldiers on board the Navy ship where Osama bin Laden's body was supposedly taken and then the ceremony was done and dropping him into the ocean said that never happened. And now, with that as the background, we have Seymour Hersh's recently released article, The Killing of Osama bin Laden. And here's James Corbett of the Corbett Report's summation of the Hirsch article. Quote, in a nutshell, Hirsch's article claims that Pakistani's ISI captured bin Laden in 2006 in the Afghanistan-Pakistan border region where he had been living with his family undetected since 2001. From 2006 until 2011, the ISI had been sheltering the evil cave-dwelling mastermind in Abbottabad, a short distance from the ISI's Tarbela Ghazi covert operations base. The ISI, in Hirsch's account, were using bin Laden as leverage over al-Qaeda and the Taliban, threatening to turn bin Laden over to the U.S. if they acted against ISI interests. Then in 2010, a former senior Pakistani intelligence official blew the whistle on bin Laden's presence in Abbottabad, and in return for a cut of the $25 million reward the U.S. was offering for his capture. At this point, the CIA drew the chief of the Pakistani army staff and the director general of the ISI into a conspiracy to stand down Pakistan's defenses while the U.S. raided the compound. The plan was to keep the raid secret and then to later announce that bin Laden had been killed in a drone strike in Afghanistan. But the crash of one of the two Black Hawk helicopters used in the raid meant the operation was exposed and the U.S. had to break their deal with the Pakistanis, announcing the raid and its target and concocting a fantastic and ever-changing story of how it happened. The firefight, bin Laden reaching for his weapon, the killing of multiple people, the burial at sea, according to Hirsch, all of this was fabricated after the fact. The story of how bin Laden's courier network was tracked back to his compound was also a lie to cover for the whistleblower who first led them to the compound. And the treasure trove of documents the CIA supposedly possessed and released to the public after the raid were a complete fabrication. A limited hangout is when certain parts of a cover story are exposed as a lie so the more important parts can remain hidden. Is Seymour Hersh's article a limited hangout? You decide. And now you're going to hear various audio clips addressing this topic in more depth. The first clip you're going to hear is with Alex Jones and John Baum from Infowars.com.
Recently, Seymour Hersh said that the raid which killed Osama bin Laden in 2011 is one big lie, and that not one word of the Obama administration's narrative on what happened is true. Speculation that the Obama administration may have embellished or outright lied about the true account of what happened has persisted mainly because the White House has refused to publicly release images of bin Laden's body. Although the White House said the corpse was immediately buried at sea in line with Islamic tradition, it quickly emerged that this was not standard practice. Numerous analysts have claimed that bin Laden had in fact been dead for years and that the raid on his alleged compound in Pakistan was little more than a stunt.
It's on record that Steve Pachinik, who worked as the top deputy to Henry Kissinger and who also is a high-level counsel on foreign relations member, was interviewed back in April of 2002 and said that bin Laden was dead and that was on ice and that in the future he would be used at a politically expedient time to bolster the government in the eyes of the people.
He died of Marfan syndrome. Bush Jr. knew about it. The intelligence community knew about it. CIA had already sent a position way before under the Clinton administration to see him at the American hospital in Dubai. He was already very sick from Marfan syndrome, and he was already dying. So nobody had to kill him. He had al-Zawahiri, who was a physician with him, who is still a physician. I don't know where he is. But we knew he was already dead by 9/11. It was very clear that he was dying. At Tora Bora, he probably died. Tommy Franks, general, said accidentally that he died. But
then Madeleine Albright in 2003, on December 17th, went on Fox News program and said that he was dead and on ice and that the Bush administration was thinking about rolling him out during the 2004 election if they needed it. But then because of that coverage, the inside baseball was they didn't.
Other questions also persist, such as why the narrative and timeline of the raid has changed multiple times. Why the White House initially claimed that Situation Room photos showed Obama watching the raid live when in fact there was a blackout on the live feed. And why neighbors in the immediate area surrounding the compound said with absolute certainty that they had never seen bin Laden and that they knew of no evidence whatsoever to suggest he lived there.
You know that if somebody new comes in your street, in your area, you always know.
The next house is my other house, which I rented to my cousin friend. I never seen anything like that, and that's why I can't believe that. And to be honest, it's not true. Osama, maybe some other people, but Osama is not a, you know, the bird who came, fly, went to the inside, because this is restricted area. When we came out from outside to come here to, always army will say, hey, where's your ID card? So it's not believed.
They were pounding Pakistani civilians and poor hapless villages there with their drone attacks, with the hellfires and with their Reaper missiles. So they have caused something like 2,500 casualties when the man that they were hunting was actually hiding in one of the urban centers of Pakistan. Now, this is remarkable.
You want to believe what I call a Lewis Carroll fairy tale, that bin Laden, who the most hunted man since 2002 in the world, decided he's going to, the one safe place to live is in a compound 40 miles from
the main capital
of Pakistan. I'm sorry, it goes against the grain. I've been doing this all my life.
The last person you just heard in this clip was Seymour Hersh himself. And now here's author and researcher Webster Tarpley discussing the supposed May 2011 killing of bin Laden.
I don't think it's profitable to try to enter too much into the details and the contradictions of this piece of theater that we've been presented with. This is an exercise in mass brainwashing. It is a very serious attempt, I think, to push the world in the direction of general war. The one thing we can say about this pseudo bin Laden, if that's really who he was that he was not the biological bin Laden, as has been pointed out. The biological bin Laden has not been with us for a long time. The original bin Laden, while he was alive, was variously described as a dreamer, a fanatic, an ideologue, a psychotic, a bungler, a misfit, the figurehead of an organization that had been created by the CIA and by British MI6, and who was largely supervised by the MI6 double agent Zawahiri of Egypt, who seems to be the person who runs this all. I think the one thing we can say for sure is that this staged and manufactured incident, and of course it's just like everything else in bin Laden's life, or the so-called bin Laden's life, nothing is proven. There is no proof of any aspect of this entire story. But the one thing you can see from the intent is this is designed to create a strategic confrontation between the United States and Pakistan. And it has already gone very far in that direction. It looks like this raid, as far as we can see, was at least on some level not approved by the Pakistani government. We have former President Musharraf protesting against that. Mm-hmm. We have the hue and cry here in Washington against Pakistan. We have the Chinese government yesterday strongly stating that they're going to support Pakistan in this crisis. We should remember that American policy in that part of the world has absolutely nothing to do with the so-called global war on terror, which is merely a strategic pretext manufactured by the United States. The goal of this all is the dismemberment of Pakistan. Pakistan could serve as an energy corridor between Iran and China, or between India and Europe.
And now here's Robert Due and Alex Jones on Prison Planet TV discussing the Navy SEAL Robert O'Neill, who claimed he killed Osama bin Laden in Abbottabad, Pakistan, in May of 2011, and wrote a book about it.
And then you go to the ship. Leaked. Bin Laden not buried at sea. Body moved on CIA plane to the U.S. That's not what they told us first. They said we buried him at sea. And then you go to the aircraft carrier. Leaked. Bin Laden not buried at sea. Body moved on CIA plane to U.S. That's directly opposite of what they said. They buried him at sea. They washed him. They did it all according to Muslim tradition, which doesn't exist. And then no sailors saw bin Laden's body buried at sea. And then they started just charging naval officers from that vessel, saying they were for drug use and distribution. So they're trying to cover their butts in every situation.
The most court-martials ever for a ship.
There you go. So bin Laden was buried at sea from the Carl Vinson in May after the Al-Qaeda leader was killed in a raid by U.S. Navy SEALs on his Pakistan hideout. The ship normally has 5,000 sailors.
I met with a Navy SEAL who was active duty, whose friend blew up on the helicopter, and he talked to their family and said they talked to other SEALs and that they believe a bomb was on board and that Obama was getting rid of them. Well, then, years later, I get other families on to say the exact same thing, and then now it's even on Fox News. It's that our sources were correct, and it's all been borne out, so we know what really happened. He'd been dead a long time. They went and set up some guy that looked like him, enough like him, to fool and to mess with the minds of the SEALs who aren't sure. Then they blow up a helicopter on the ground to confuse things. A couple of months later, they blow up another helicopter with 23 SEALs. They said no training, no mission preparation. They'd never been on a mission like this. They fly them out, and they get blown up. I mean, this is a major setup. Keep going through it.
And BBC even released a report where they interview neighbors, and none of them ever even saw bin Laden in the 5 years he was supposedly there. They had never seen him. And then you have that crazy video that came out of the guy saying that the helicopter landed, then it was taken off, and it blew up, and there were bodies everywhere. So who knows what happened that night? We're never going to find out. That's why you have to create all these fake books and Hollywood productions, you know, with Catherine Bigelow jumping in.
To make it a fiction.
Yeah.
To make it a legend. But that's what I was told day one by the SEALs, is that, no, they blew up the helicopter, taken off, and nobody shot at it. They'd already taken the guys out in the house, limited resistance. And then they really figured out when the second helicopter blew up. These aren't stupid guys.
This is an operation against us. We're being useful idiots.
That's what they said. We're being taken out.
Yeah.
And so now this guy comes out. He didn't get killed that night when the helicopter blew up. He didn't get killed when the other SEALs all from this mission got crammed on. And he's now out here, Robert O'Neill, and the other SEALs don't agree with him. So who's lying? Is it the other SEALs or is it Robert O'Neill?
Are they all lying? They could all be telling part of a tale just to keep it confused. It's called a smokescreen. It's a propaganda technique that they use. And they throw out a lot of different things. You're not sure what's going on.
And then meanwhile, the guys that wouldn't play ball?
They're dead. Dead men tell no tales.
We said they didn't dump them off the aircraft carrier. They admit that now.
Yeah.
We said the Situation Room was fake the day after it.
They said there was no video. And then it comes out, hey, we don't have anything. We don't have anything from this guy. We don't even have photos of his dead body.
And let's not forget, Pat Tillman being used for PR, wouldn't play along. They murdered him.
Yeah.
Jessica Lynch.
Murdered her team.
Murdered a bunch of the team, and she went public and said, it's all fake, it's all a lie. For her own safety, she had to do that. So this is a major PR move for Obama and for others. And it turned out these SEALs told me the truth. 23 on the helicopter.
Again,
I talked to people that talked to the SEALs that were there. There was no briefings, no nothing. They just said, on a helicopter. And they go, we don't ever do this. What is this?
Yeah, so it's the National Guard helicopter.
Yeah, they were all freaking out when they were flying out there. They were set up.
And then they were some of them survived the crash. And they were still fighting, and no support, no nothing. It was, we're going to let you guys die. And that's sad. That's really sad. You know?
The Navy SEALs who were witnesses to whatever happened in Abbottabad, Pakistan, were mostly all killed in a helicopter that was shot down in Afghanistan. All of them were cremated without their parents' permission. And the helicopter black box was allegedly never found. Here's one father of one of the Navy SEALs discussing this.
Where is the black box? The CH-47's black box was lost, according to the military report. Quote, washed away by an Afghan flood.
Can't find the black box, which is really orange. I looked it up in Google. Them black boxes don't go away. They lose black boxes in the swamps in Florida, and they find them. You're going to tell me you can't find the black box? Not acceptable. I tell my boss stuff like that, I get fired. Right? My son's 25-year-old son got set up and killed.
Why was everyone on board immediately cremated? Everyone on Extortion 17 was immediately cremated without permission from the families, supposedly because the bodies were so badly burned in the crash. This is a complete lie.
When the helicopter got shot down, it's in the paperwork. We didn't know what helicopter got shot. It took us 10 minutes. My son, right? My son, Michael, was fighting for his life. Nobody came and helped. They didn't have the pathfinders there to check the area. Nobody checked the light. Nobody called. Well, who's calling the shots here? They told me my son had to be cremated. Everybody has to be cremated. My son didn't need to be cremated. I got pictures of my son. He was fighting. He had a gun in his hand. Come on. Fighting for this country, for us. And you're going to lie to me and slap me in the face? I called the command. I said, why'd you cremate my son? My son didn't want to be cremated. He's like, what do you mean? I got pictures of him. When I asked for the autopsy report from Dover, they sent me a disc with pictures. He's sitting there fighting. Everybody was burned beyond reckon. No, everybody wasn't burned beyond reckon. Another lie.
So I think it's fair to say that there's a lot more to the story of the alleged assassination of Osama bin Laden in Abbottabad, Pakistan in May of 2011, and also in its aftermath. And I agree with Seymour Hersh that we've been lied to about what happened there. But for all of his research, Hersh still believes that Osama bin Laden was killed that day by the Navy SEAL team. In his article, he has the following paragraph. Quote, a worrying factor at this early point, according to the retired official, was Saudi Arabia, which had been financing bin Laden's upkeep since his seizure by the Pakistanis. The Saudis didn't want bin Laden's presence revealed to us because he was a Saudi, and so they told the Pakistanis to keep him out of the picture. The Saudis feared if we knew, we would pressure the Pakistanis to let bin Laden start talking to us about what the Saudis had been doing with Al-Qaeda, and they were dropping money, lots of it. And according to James Corbett, he thinks this could be the reason for this whole article and this point of view is to coincide with the 28 redacted pages of the Congressional Joint Inquiry and the effort now to get those declassified. And supposedly those 28 redacted pages contain information about the Saudi involvement in financing of the alleged 9/11 hijackers. If you'd like to research this more yourself, here are some good places to start. One, the website globalresearch.ca has a lot of recent articles responding to the Seymour Hersh article. You can also go to YouTube and just search for Osama bin Laden's death, May 2011, and you'll get a lot of videos coming up. And then you can also read David Ray Griffin's book, Osama bin Laden, Dead or Alive. It's a small book, a good read, and it has a lot of information in there and evidence about his death in December of 2001. And another good source is Alex Jones at Infowars.org or his Prison Planet TV. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.